You're listening to Blood and Water, brought to you by the Field 2020 cohort as part of their Mesa Festival. Thank you for tuning in.
Hello, hello, good evening, good day, good light, and welcome. Welcome back to part two of Blood and Water podcast, a brand new podcast mini-series that seeks to challenge the traditional ideas of family. Thank you all once again for tuning in and rocking with me. I am your host, Bexy Bex. I am a poet by purpose, dancer by daydream only, and awesome by everything else. If you tuned into the last episode, you would know that when I say awesome, it is merely just a fraction of the talent that we have coming up for you on this mini series. This time around, we have another amazing three brilliant individuals joining me in our online studio because, yes, a day later, COVID is still most definitely a thing. So in our online studio today, we have Dr. Sarah Foley from the Centre for Family Research, University of Cambridge, interested in child development and different family relationships. We are also joined by Duke, who is a A&R representative for Universal, a booking producer, free spirit, youth ambassador for Roundhouse, and a queer black drummer. Lastly, but never leastly, we have the amazing, the wonderful Tanaka Fuego. He is a black queer artist whose poems cross leaps and boundaries throughout his identity, a multi-published international spoken word artiste, and Roundhouse Slam finalist whose accolades include Edinburgh Fringe, Folk Festival, British Vogue, and many, many more. But before we delve into the beautiful minds of our wonderful guests, let me tell you once again a little bit about what we have in store for you and what we're all about now. Blood and Water is part of a wider collaborative event called Mesa Festival, and it was produced by the amazing multidisciplinary artist Lucine and the wonderful dance artist Kim Chi. And they are both part of the 2020 Future Innovators of East London Dance. As always, we want to give a huge thank you to East London Dance for helping to make all of this come to life. Make some noise, get some claps for East London Dance. Like that. I can hear the bass. I can hear the bass and the enthusiasm. So, Blood and Water podcast miniseries consists of three packed episodes infusing mindfulness exercises, great discussions, and an interactive creative task that we will be doing live as we are recording. Each episode tackles the traditional ideas of family with a unique question for each chapter, and today my wonderful guests and I will be attempting to answer the one and only question: why is family important? Just a quick disclaimer, due to the nature of the discussions, there may be some sensitive topics discussed, so please take precaution for any trigger points or when listening with young children. Also, as always, you might hear some random sounds in the background as we speak. Do not be alarmed. As part of the series, we will be carrying out creative tasks while we're chit-chatting away. And today's task is to make a decoupage, which personally is kind of one of my favorite words, a decoupage photo frame for family and friends. I think I saw a Mariah Carey meme the other day letting me know that Christmas is like 2 months away. So if any of my family and friends are listening, please know that you will be receiving a decoupage for Christmas. I don't know who's going to be, which lucky person it is, but you are going to get it. And all of the items made by myself and the guests will be made available to see online after each episode. So keep an eye out for those. My beautiful guests, how are you feeling? How are you guys feeling? Good? I want to hear some noise. Woo! Need some
energy. Yes! Yes!
Yes! No! We got through that. I like that. So yeah, I love that energy. We are going to channel that energy and try and focus it doing a mindfulness exercise. As always, we kick off with a short guided mindfulness exercise. And this is basically to give us a moment to hoo-sah before we enter these deep discussions. This mindful exercise we're going to be doing is called mindful posing. Now, don't worry, we're not going to be like asking you guys to do like a catwalk or walk the runway. It's very, very simple. I know, right? So disappointing. I had my heels on and everything.
Me too.
So, for the listeners, you can do this where you are. You can find a more quiet space or a private space if you want to. If you aren't already, make sure you are standing. Ensure you're standing feet shoulder width apart. I want you to take a deep breath in through your nose and hold it for a couple of seconds. Then breathe out through your mouth. Now, clench your fists and raise both your arms above your head to reach the sky, stretching as tall as you can. We're going to hold this pose for a few seconds. How does it make you feel? Y'all feel powerful?
I feel powerful, tall.
Amazing. Do you feel like you needed to stretch? Because I did. If you get distracted, simply focus on your breath and continue holding that pose. Now slowly bring your left arm down, placing your left fist on your hip. Now bring your right arm down, placing your right fist on your hip. Remaining tall and upright, take a deep breath in through your nose. Hold and breathe out through your mouth. Now I just want you to sit in that moment, become aware. Think about how that pose made you feel. Was it comfortable? How did it compare to the first pose? Now, you may or may not have noticed that those poses are two very famous superheroes, Superman and Wonder Woman. So think of yourself as a superhero, and how would you pose, and how would it look like? What you might wear? Do you have a superhero name? And take on that pose that you imagined and hold that pose while you take deep breaths in and deep breaths out. So, remember, not all superheroes wear capes. There's something like heroic in all of us. So anytime you feel less than or incapable, remember you are a superhero for that. And just do that exercise. Like, that's what I do. The first thing I get out of bed, I just stand there like Wonder Woman.
Blood and water.
So does anyone want to share how that mindfulness made them feel? Does anyone even have an alter ego superhero? Because I feel like I do. I feel like her name is Starlight.
Starlight? I feel like my one is Fuego.
Come on.
I feel like Tanaka is, you know, me. You know, my mother calls me Tanaka. And then Fuego is the person that gets on stage. Fuego is the person that writes the poems. And I'm just the vessel that, you know, it's chosen by, you know?
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
That's beautiful.
Maybe I should call myself Bexy Starlight Bex. I love the way you incorporate it into your stage name. So you're reminded every time that people say your name, like, oh, superhero in the building.
No, really, like, it really, it's a difference between if someone says, get ready for Tanaka, I'm going to come out on the stage as me, right? Mm-hmm. And as me might not be appropriate for the setting. You know what I mean? If it's in front of 500 people, I have to be an elevated version of myself. So it's kind of like, you know, calling out that manifestation of that person, you know?
Manifestation is my favorite word. Absolutely love that. Brilliant. So do you guys have your creative past tasks with you? Do you have all of your equipment?
Yes, I do.
Not yes.
I started already a bit.
I haven't even opened it.
Okay, come on, Purple. So, as we are having the discussion, we're going to kick off the first topic. I feel like our first topic, our first question is to really try and understand why is family important. I think from my personal point of view, like, family to me has always been like a correction base. So, like, I grew up with, like, if you were listening to the last episode, I had like 50-11 cousins. Every elder was an aunt or an elder. Like, literally everybody was your family. So it was very much community-based. The it takes a village to raise a child mentality. So, say if my mom wasn't around, it was kind of like a relay race. If she wasn't around, my aunt would pick up that discipline stick and she would just like run full force with it and just... Right? Yeah. So family in my world was very much to keep you in line, to keep you corrected, to keep you on the right path, to let you know where you're going wrong. So Tanaka, maybe we'll direct this question to you. Maybe you can chime in. Why is family important to you? What really makes you tick when it comes to family?
I think family is important to me because, you know, I was raised kind of the same way, you know, super community based. I think my whole life has really been tailored and created by, I think, a lot of Black women that have, you know, raised me and always steered me in the right direction. I also think the idea of like family that isn't blood related, right, water, I think they hold just as much standing in my life as blood, maybe even more so at this point in my life. You know, I think, you know, more than ever, it's so prevalent that a lot of us have a lot of different views from our, you know, from our parents, you know, from their parents and from their siblings, you know, our aunts and uncles. And so I think now more than ever is a time where stepping away from blood family sometimes, if it's not in your best interest, right, but to keep your mental health sane is what people are forced to do, you know. And I think mm-hmm. that's where we find sisters and brothers and uncles and aunts and, you know what I mean, people who step into those mother and father figure roles when there are people you love in your life that aren't helpful to your success, you know.
It's so true. Like, it's interesting that you said that, because in our previous episode, we were talking about what is family and who is family. And there was very much a split decision about family will always be blood. And even though the water connections that you make, they're family by proxy. Whereas I feel like, especially as a creative, I found my creative soul tribe. I found my creative family in that sense. And they're just as important to me as my blood relations, who some I might not even talk to sometimes. So there is that distinction.
Yeah, I just wanted to jump in on the whole blood thicker than water thing, because actually if you trace it back, it used to mean the other way around. So actually it was a blood brother that was stronger than the brother that you shared the like water in the womb with. So somewhere along the line it's twisted, which I think is quite an interesting thing.
Dr. Sarah, you have actually just blown my mind. Like, this whole time I thought water meant just like people that you drink with. Yeah. Honestly, I thought it was like literally tap water. Like, yeah, these are the people that I drink with, and I did not even associate it with womb being stronger and water. Wow.
Yeah, so like we'll blood brothers. So it's like the blood you bond like is into maybe as blood brother, or like the blood you shed like in battle, so the people that you like went out with, so those bonds maybe be stronger than the bond that you have with somebody you just happen to share the womb with.
So when they say blood is thicker than water, they're actually saying
it's the logical family, not the, yeah,
your comrades are really your family.
Yeah, logical, not biological.
I have a poem where I wrote, people forget, you know, how blood is so easy to clot, right? Like if you get a blood clot, you can die. And it's the sense of a lot of your family, right? The love they have for you can even make you or break you, right? Like the opinion of, let's say, a parent can really change the way you go about your life. So I think it's always remembering that, like, as much as people might assume friends, right, that you consider family aren't as great, right, and as wealthy as blood would be, I think we forget that we can have outstanding amounts of love from people that we don't even really know, do you know what I mean? Compared to people that we've known us our whole lives, who don't care for us the same way. You know, aunts and uncles don't always care about you. Just because they're your aunt and your uncle, it's a title, you know?
No, I 100% completely agree. So when it comes to terms of family, what would you say, if there was like a mantra or a motto that really resonated you with family, what would you say it was? Is there one?
Yeah.
Does everybody have one?
That's a good question, right? I haven't thought of a specific mantra before, but I think for me, I don't know if this would be a mantra, but I think it's, for me, something when it comes to family in general, is always telling them how much I'm in love with them, right? And I think the word "I love you" is really nice, but like, I'm in love with you, right? As a person, your spirit, your energy, what you bring to me as a person, even though if you had nothing, I would still love you. Do you know what I mean? I think for me with family, it's always saying I'm in love with you. So maybe that's a mantra I use and give out.
And also accepting you for who you are. Family should always accept you for who you are. And sometimes, like, a lot of people can say, I will love you for who you are no matter what you're gonna do. But also family means to tell you what is wrong, like to try to point you to the right direction. And also for accept for who you are, but on the other side, it's like, you don't want a person that tells you you're always perfect, you're always good, you're always like this and this, and don't tell you like the right things in life and who you really are. You want like a person who puts like in the right direction, I would say. Because I wanted to say straight, but there's nothing straight in this world, really.
There is nothing.
But I mean, yeah, put you in the right direction. You don't want a person that always... There are so many people who have like friends, they're considered as friends or family, and they will say because of their... I forgot the word, but like... But yeah, you just want a right person near you who you can trust no matter what it is and come to. That's it.
Amazing. Like, I'm so glad you said that point, because when we first started this podcast, I was under the assumption of, obviously, this podcast is called Blood and Water. So yeah. In my head, I'm thinking of the quote, blood is thicker than water, in terms of familial bonds will always be stronger than bonds of friendship and love.
That's not
but as we go like deeper into the conversations and I do more research and we listen to Dr. Sarah Foley, the quote actually, for all of our listeners, the quote comes from, the blood of the covenant is thicker than the water of the womb. This actually means that the bloodshed in battle bonds soldiers more strongly than simple genetics. Mm-hmm. So actually, blood is thicker than water. It's not talking about blood and DNA. It's talking more of battle bonds and what you guys have been through.
Yeah.
And the relationships within family and love. So on that basis, I just want to move on to Dr. Sarah Foley. Maybe you can shed some light from a research point of view. Could you tell us how maybe, how is family important in terms of development from childhood through adulthood? And can a familial bond through friendship and love be just as strong as that from blood and genetics? And does that even have an effect on development as a whole?
Gosh, all big questions.
Such a broad question. We only have 10 minutes, guys.
And go. The first part of the question is, why is family important for child development? Is that right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I guess in terms of, if you're thinking about differences in the quality of family relationships, so how you know, the way in which parents act and the way in which they behave towards their children, or the attitudes they hold, those types of things are really important in terms of shaping children's outcomes, sort of developmentally, maybe how they get on at school or like their mental health. So I guess families or those family relationships can help children both like flourish and thrive, or they might have more of a negative impact as well, I guess. So, you know, really early on, it's important that parents are able to like tune into children's sort of, you know, what they want, their thoughts, their feelings, their desires. And if you help pick up on that, then that sort of helps set the stage that I can trust that person. Therefore, you know, I can go on to maybe have those trusting relationships with other people.
Yeah.
But I guess it's important to think about like the other things that influence children and families. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you think about a child in like the middle of an onion, and they're influenced by like the family that's like the first layer of the onion, but then they're also, that family might be in a neighborhood, or the child might go to a school and in the larger society, and all of those things both act, you know, directly onto the child. So I guess if we think that parents influence children, but also other relationships within the family influence children, so sibling relationships, and then if we go outside of the family unit, and whatever that looks like for you, you know, the child might be influenced by things going on in their school, so their friends, or it could be the teacher or other people in the neighborhood. And then if you go sort of wider than that, obviously larger things in society are going to be affecting you. So, you know, if the differences in regards to thinking about maybe poverty or other things that are going on for certain families, they're obviously going to have huge impact on the way that you do family and the way that you can interact. And so I guess there are lots of things that make up an individual, but families like one part of the puzzle that is important for children's well-being.
Like you kind of like triggered something in my head while you were talking. Mm-hmm. So like in terms of actual development, because like obviously society has this, what's the nicest way to put it, this idealistic vision of family. So anyone that's born outside of that idealistic view, as a child, say maybe an orphan, they've lost their parents, or they don't know their parents, or they're estranged.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they have familial relationships with their peers or their friends,
mm-hmm.
just knowing that idealistic vision of a family doesn't exist, does that impact their development, or does that play a part and a factor?
I guess if you're thinking about in terms of like stigma, is that type of thing that you're so I guess you might be impacted by that sort of more implicitly. So maybe you've taken on this or internalized this idea of what family should be. So therefore, mm-hmm. if your family differs anyway from the ideal, which every family does, because there isn't a, like, what is the normal family? Then I guess that, you know, you might have, that might affect the way that you're feeling, and the way that you go on to interact with other people. But I guess also more directly, you know, people experience prejudice and discrimination because of the way that their families differ. And we know from research conducted at the Centre for Family Research that differences in family form, so if a family looks, you know, it's not the heterosexual married 2.4 child family unit, maybe your family differs from that. Maybe you have two mums, maybe you have one mum, maybe you have one dad, maybe you're adopted, whatever that is. It's the quality of those family relationships that matter. But when children are exposed to maybe homophobic bullying or negative attitudes from other people, that's when the issues might come about.
Love that. Answered my question completely.
Oh, good.
So it says you are a doctor that is interested in different family relationships. Can you explain family relationships, like, in the briefest of terms? Like, what does that actually
consist What is a of? Relationship?
No, when you say different family relationships.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So I guess I'm interested, From a psychological perspective, and from the research that's often been conducted looking at the influences of parents on children, that's often assumed to be biological mother on biological child. So I guess I'm interested in, you know, roles of father relationships or the roles of the couple relationship if you're in a couple on the child. I'm interested in those co-parenting dynamics and how that affects other relationships, sibling relationships, and I guess other different types of caregivers as well. So whether that's grandparents or aunts, uncles, we know pet relationships are really important for children as well.
Adults, bro. Adults.
Well, I'd love a fur baby.
I have a fox that comes to my window and we have a love-hate relationship, and it's very important to me. If I don't see it in the morning, I get very upset.
This is the Blood and Water podcast.
Brilliant. So it's actually great that you mentioned that we touched upon the different family relationships, because like during the meet and greet section, like all four of us, we have completely different family backgrounds and different dynamics. And I know during the meet and greet, Duke, you shared the diversity of your family background and how there was a lot of conflicting views. So when you have such strong influences from two different sides of the family, how do you reconcile as a person? Do you tend to lean towards one side of the family? Does one have a more influence, or do you have like a general understanding of family?
So for me, it was very hard because I didn't know. I was more on my mother's side than on my father's side, but still was involved on my father's side on the Black culture, but I wasn't accepted from both sides. So, but still, and I was female, and then my parents didn't accept me for who I was. So I tried to go lean more into the direction that I didn't want to be, dressing more girly and everything, even though I didn't feel comfortable, and it was like giving up. So I was very unhappy. I gained a lot of weight. I didn't have any friends because, as we said like before, I changed 8 times schools. I was probably in eight different schools, and I was only for like 8 months there. In every school I was for 8 months. Probably in one school I was for 2 years. But I never felt comfortable with other students or felt comfortable in that school environment. And I did good at learning for myself, learning with myself, like doing research and all of that. But school is definitely something, like an environment that I love to be at still, and just learning other people. It's a great environment because now I did homeschooling when I was 15 or 14, and it was awful because I never met anyone. I was always by myself. It wasn't fun, and I didn't got any rules to be like strict, just like sit down and learn something like in school, and you don't get to meet new people, like new types of people, and it's always was like the same timing, same wake up, like same people that I was around. It was boring. And it was like awful too, because my family didn't had any all the schools that I was like probably there were only two black people in school, in every school, like 8 schools that I was, so me and another black person, and that's it. And I was mostly with my mom, and there were only like white people. And it was just like I didn't know who I was, so I definitely have both sides of racism. My mother tried to make me more white than I was, and my father made me more black than I was. And exactly right now, with this Black Lives Movement stuff and with all of this, it's even harder. It was still harder because when I went to my father's side, he said, you don't talk about white people, like all of that. And then when I went to my mom's side, you don't talk about black people, it's like bad. But on the other side, she had 2 other children, like my brother's half Mongolian, my sister's half Greek, and she talked about all the things that were bad, but still had a relationship with other men who weren't in her like in her group, let's say like that, that weren't white. And so it was hard for me to see her as a role model or see her as a person. Like, she tells me things and don't believe them herself.
Mm-hmm.
So it was difficult to try and find who I was. And so I found my laptop, who never will leave me alone.
Amazing. So would you say, so how would you...
Oh, and the other thing is about elderlies. Like, you know, when sometimes grandfathers or grandmothers, especially in the black community, probably say like, oh, look up to your like elders, like be nice to your elders and always treat your elders right. Like they're always right. Like your older people and stuff. Like, that's not true. That's not even true. Like, for me at the beginning, it was like, oh my God, my grandmother has always right. Like, she can tell me anything. But it's not true. Like, I found in the UK when I moved here, like much better people, and it, especially with the blood thing related. Mm-hmm. It's about my parents treated me horrible, the family that I was. We have a lot, I have 16 siblings, 16 from my father's side, and like 5 with my mother's side. And she has other children too, so it's like a big family, and then my cousins and all of that, we live together. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, it was nice to have a lot of people, but they didn't accept me for who I was. And so,
So with such a, coming from such a big family background,
yes,
for you, what would you say, why is family important to you? Do you now feel like you have an understanding of what family is?
Oh, 100%, 100%. Mm-hmm. I feel like probably not enough yet to talk about, to really feel, I don't know, what is family love? What can we say about family love? That's, for me, that's a hard question, because on the other side, I met a lot of people in my life, like in those 3 years, let's say, that I feel like family, and they treat me well. They love me for who I am, and I can be myself. So that's definitely family love. And I appreciate everything like they do for me. And yeah, that's an honor to say that they are my family. Yeah. But on the other side, I feel like I'm still going to find other people, like still find more love that I can say, okay, that's family love.
100%. So like, I love the point that you touched on. Family is where you can feel home and where you can feel like you're yourself. Yeah, that's an amazing point to make.
And the research and supports that as well. It's like parents' acceptance and warmth is what's associated 100%. With sort of like positive outcomes for children. It doesn't matter who's doing that, what parental figure it is, or you know what the family looks like. It's that feeling that, you know, you've been seen and that you're
who you are. 100%.
Amazing. Like, there was so much to digest there. It's so beautiful. Yeah.
You're listening to Blood and Water.
We touched on a lot of amazing points there. I don't think we're going to ever condense why family is important into 30 or 45 minutes at all, but we are still going to push the boundaries, and we're going to try and get a summary out of all of you. So in summary, like, for me, after listening to all of your points, and from what I started with, from the correctional from a correctional point of view, I still believe like family is important to me, because it's there to guide you and to make sure you're following your purpose and to keep within your path. But based on the conversations, I think I definitely put a lot more emphasis on the fact that family is also there to give you a sense of a belonging, a sense of comfortability, to allow you to relax and actually be who you are in a space, in a space away from a world that is telling you that you're not who you think you are.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
It makes sense. It makes sense.
So I love that you guys got me to reach there. Dr. Sarah Foley, how would you summarize why family is important to you?
Why family is important to me? Oh, I guess.
Is family important to you? That should have been a question too.
It's fine. I mean, I've dedicated most of my life to understanding it more. I think
I would say yes.
Yeah, no, family is really important to me, both in terms of, I guess, the family who raised me and the family that I've created around me. I think mm-hmm. I've that logical family of people you bring closest.
Yeah.
And those people who support you. And what does family, I think family, like, it's the quality of those relationships that's really important, like not mm-hmm. Not the structure or the form of the family. And I guess it's really important to support those processes. So you support parents in terms of their mental health, you know, make sure that they're supported emotionally and financially and practically, really to help support their children's development.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Love that. Duke,
yes.
Do you have a little summary of why family is important to you?
Family is important to me. Mostly, family is important, as I said before, about being seen, and then also having gatherings together. I never really had that, just sitting down. All the people together and just don't argue with each other or don't yell it. Yeah, just don't argue with each other, but I mean, have a nice conversation, speak with each other and accept each other for who you are and just have a good time. Really. That's for me.
I love that. Amazing. So, has anyone actually started their decoupage? Because, I could see Duke, scribbling away. You look like you were on it. Oh, my God.
Yeah,
Oh, my God, that's so cute.
Yeah, no,
hold that up.
Yeah, it's one of my, she's definitely made me feel, she's one of the first people when I came to the UK. Eve is her name. Mm-hmm. And I was homeless, for 1 year, legit. I was living in Clink Hostel, and I was in a roundhouse, mm-hmm. and she was also there. She came from China, Japan, and mm-hmm. she was also working in the music industry. She was also working in the roundhouse, me also, and we're just connected, really. She's also queer, and we just found each nice. Other, her family is also split up. She was, from a strict Japanese family. Her parents didn't speak with each other at all, so she was always... She ran to her father's side, to her mother's side, and she couldn't cry because her mother said that was weak, with mm-hmm. me. And it was just we understood each other, and then we spent a lot of time, we talked about things. Just being in this environment, she was queer mm-hmm. a long time, but she always needed to wear girly clothes like me, and she was also in how do you call it in the UK, where people put you in because you're queer, so they put, take it out of you? Like a hospital where you get treatment because you're gay or lesbian or whatever.
Oh, like a correctional therapy.
Yeah,
type
yeah,
situation.
Yeah. And she and, Eve and I, we had the same experience. Mine was in Belgium, but her was, in Japan or China somewhere, and she we really connected with each other about that, about having being finally, I wouldn't say free, but just being herself and having a good time in life.
So it's so beautiful that you did that picture frame for her. All I did was decorate the outsides of mine, so I'm definitely gonna have to work on it.
I've got so my beautiful. My little sister, I found this the other day. I don't know whether you see it. It says, and
that's so beautiful.
It says to my.
I really wish, as listeners, you could see this. It is absolutely cute.
It's so
very
beautiful.
Cute, so there's a big age gap, I guess, between I'm the eldest, and then I have two sisters, and so there's a gap. There's only 15 months between me and my sister Laura, who's a teacher, so he's also very interested in family, and then my younger sister is at uni. But when she was very little, she made me this card that I found at home the other day. And it says, to my sisters, and it's spelt wrong. And then it says, do you like it on the back?
Do you like it? That's so cute. That's beautiful.
But I'm very close to my sisters, so that's, yeah.
I love that.
That's beautiful.
I love that so much. Thank you all, amazing people, for a beautiful, great episode and a very deep episode. I feel like I've changed a lot of my views from the beginning to my summary. So thank you guys for giving me your input and allowing me to learn and to grow. And I have been able to chat with you directly because I'm famous now and I have all of their Instagrams. But if you can let the listeners know where they can find and follow you. So Dr. Sarah Foley, if you just want to give your details, are your Instagrams where people can follow you and find some more about your research, that would be awesome.
Yeah, great. So you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at @SE_Foley, so Foley. And you can also follow the work of the Centre for Family Research on Twitter. So that's @CFR_32. Or you can have a look at our website, which is thecentreforfamilyresearch.cam.ac.uk.
Amazing. Thank you very much. And Duke, what about yourself? Where can people find you and follow you?
So you can find me on Twitter, jukebox_management, and then Instagram, jukebox_management. Yeah.
Also, you can follow Tanaka Fuego, our international spoken word artist. You can find him on Instagram at tanaka.fuego. That's TANAKA.FUEGO. And as always, I am Bexy Bex. You can follow me on Instagram @bedroompoetry_. And this amazing, wonderful podcast and miniseries has been brought to you and curated by our wonderful field producers, Lucine and Kimchi. You can also follow them on Instagram @LISFORLUCINE and Kimchi Lee, which is @KIMCHI_, that's _LE. Don't forget to follow @THEFI.ELD and East London Dance for the rest of the amazing creative online festival. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we are looking forward to having you back for our third episode, which is going to be
amazing, incredible,
a climax and an absolute banger. Guess can we get some drum rolls, please? Thank you so much for coming. Make some noise, man. Yes. Make me feel festive.
Yes, let's go. Let's go.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you for having me. It was really nice.
Thank you too.
This podcast is programmed as part of Mesa Festival, a week-long multi-arts festival that aims to engage young artists, elevate underrepresented voices, and provide a seat at the table for those without one. It is produced by The Field, a unique program from East London Dance to develop the future innovators of dance, equipping them with the skills and resources to make their ideas happen. Thank you for listening. Thank you.